Can you imagine? We've got coming up, haven't we? In May, we've got a coronation. King Charles III is going to be crowned our king. Can you imagine if he came out of Buckingham Palace on a scooter? No? But also, he not only is he going to be our king, he's also going to be head of the armed forces. And can you imagine him trooping the colour on a pair of roller skates, maybe? No. You can imagine what sort of vehicle, how would he get to Westminster Abbey? How do you think he's going to get to Westminster Abbey? Any ideas? A coach, and not like a megabus or national coaches. We're not talking about that. Maybe like a big, grand, golden coach. A bit like we saw in the clip from Shrek. A big, grand coach would be his arrival. And today we heard about the entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem, didn't we? And the entrance that he made on a donkey. They're rather cute looking, aren't they, donkeys? They've got that sort of soft, gentle look about them. Have any of you ever ridden on a donkey? Yes? Yes? June has, yeah? I seem to remember as a child riding on a donkey on a beach somewhere. And has anybody had that experience of riding a... Yeah? I think it was either Weymouth or Western Supermare. I can't remember. My dad might remember. I don't know. But it was a very long time ago, I have to say. But he entered on a donkey, gentle and humble. And dare I say, he may have even looked a little bit awkward, a little bit ridiculous. They weren't expecting this Jesus who they'd heard about to be arriving on a donkey. But as we've heard, it fulfilled a prophecy in the book of Zechariah some years, many years previous, that the king would arrive in Jerusalem or would arrive to save them. Their savior, the Messiah, would arrive on a donkey. And we've heard that they traveled through Bethphage, and that's where they picked up the donkeys. They were on their way to Jerusalem. And Jesus knew not only the events of the next few hours, when that donkey, he knew where, if you like, he could see, he knew where the donkey was going to be. But he also knew much more about what was going to be happening in the days ahead in Jerusalem. He knew a lot of what was going to happen, not just in those few days. But despite that, he didn't turn around. You might have thought that actually, if he knew the difficulties that he was going to have to face, that he would turn around and go the opposite direction, but he didn't. Jesus knew that he would have to face death. And in fact, in the previous chapter of this of the book of Matthew here, Jesus told his disciples exactly what would happen, that he would be flogged, that he would be tried, that he would be executed, but more importantly, that he would be raised from the dead. He knew that, and yet he still went through with that because he loved us and loves and does love us. He was on a mission to save the world. And as he entered Jerusalem, he had a huge crowd around him, a large crowd. He was well known, particularly in Bethany. Now, it tells us a lot about, the Gospels tell us a lot about Jesus and Bethany. And he had some friends in Bethany. Does anybody know the names of his friends in Bethany that he visited frequently? Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, that's right. And it was particularly important because the Bible tells us that he raised Lazarus from the dead. Now, that would have been quite an event. If you lived in Bethany, you would have known about that. Not a particularly large village. And I suspect, as you saw on the map on the previous slide, Bethphage is not that far from Bethany. They would have heard about all these amazing events that have taken place in Bethany. And there would have been quite a crowd maybe coming from Bethany and Bethphage into Jerusalem following, waving their palm branches, laying out their cloaks. Was this the Messiah that the Israelite people believed would rescue them? And as Jesus entered, he would have heard them shouting, "Hosanna." Now, you can see here, this is the Hebrew text, the Hebrew writing of the word Hosanna. Might have been pronounced Hoshanna. And the Hebrew text reads not like the English from left to right, it reads from right to left. Hoshanna. And it has a particular meaning. Does anybody know what the meaning of this is? It means, save us. Please save us. Save us now. So like a pleading. That the people wanted to be saved. But what did the people of Jerusalem want to be saved from? What or who? Perhaps the invading Romans who were occupying their land. Or maybe they were fed up with the fact that they had a paranoid king who was a bit of a tyrant. A bit of a puppet king, nevertheless, with the Romans there, but he was still a tyrant. Or maybe they were fed up of being bullied and controlled by the religious leaders. But they wanted saved. They wanted something different. They wanted something new. They wanted to be free. And Jesus, they thought at this time, was the person that would save them. And again, in Hebrew, the word, Jesus' name would be Yeshua. The meaning of his word means the Lord saves. And it really fitted with their expectations of somebody who was coming, their Messiah, their expectations that the Messiah would come to save them. But he hadn't come to save them from the Romans or King Herod or religious leaders. It was quite clear that from his birth, actually from even before his birth, that he was here for a particular purpose. And in Matthew 1, verse 20, it says, when the angel spoke to Joseph, it said, he said to him, you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. That was his purpose. That's why he was named Jesus, which means the Lord saves. Now, it may look as though something's gone wrong up here, but can you see anything? You can't, can you? There's not much to see. Jesus tells us elsewhere in the Gospels that he came to win a victory over that which cannot be seen. To win victory in a spiritual kingdom. Now, the Bible tells us about one of the religious leaders, a guy called Nicodemus. He came and spoke to Jesus one night. He went at night time because he didn't want any of his other religious colleagues to see him, because that was a bit of a no-no, speaking to Jesus. Because Jesus was seen as a bit of a non-conformist. He wasn't conforming to the way that the religious leaders felt that they should be living their life. So this Nicodemus, he was an educated man. He came to Jesus and was asking Jesus about what it meant to follow God. And when Jesus explained to him, he struggled to understand about the need for a spiritual rebirth, that there was a spiritual realm that he needed to be saved from. So the fact is that Jesus didn't come to defeat the occupying Romans. He came to defeat the occupying forces of Satan, to break the chains of sin and death. Jesus himself says in John chapter 8, verse 36, if the Son, and that's the Son of God, he was talking about himself here, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. That's why Jesus came, to free each one of us from those things that bind us. Jesus also said, if you're heavy laden, if you're burdened with things, come to me and I will give you rest. And maybe here today you've come and maybe you're seeking rest, relief, from things that are burdening you, things that are troubling you. Jesus said, come to me and I will give you rest. The enemy, Satan, is quite keen for us not to even acknowledge that there is a spiritual kingdom. And most people in the world these days are so preoccupied with what's going on around them, their physical possessions, their finances, their fitness, their health. All of these things, yes, they're important, but we're distracted by them from the real purpose. God created us as spiritual beings, and Jesus came to restore the relationship we can have with God, that we can indeed be free indeed. The scripture tells us that we were looking at that the whole of the city was stirred up. It was buzzing with the news about Jesus. They probably all knew about his teachings. He'd been healing the sick, the lame, the blind, the deaf, had all been healed by him. And they may well have heard him as he challenged some of the ideas and thoughts that the religious leaders had. And I guess if they'd have had Instagram or Facebook, it would have been trending big time that Jesus is in the city. And they were asking, who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? Some thought he was a prophet, some a teacher, some a liberator from the Romans. But whilst all the gossip and the, if you like, the social interactions and the social communication that went on, that meant that Jesus was welcomed with cheers and with shouting and with hosannas, the religious leaders were able to influence the city within just a few days to use their social influence to turn the city against him. Have you ever asked this question? And perhaps you're asking this question maybe today for the first time. Who is this Jesus? Who do you say that he is? Perhaps you've read in the Bible a bit about him. Or maybe you've got some questions you'd like to ask about who this Jesus is, because you're not sure who Jesus is. And what? Why? Why did he bother doing this? Why did he come in? Why did he go ahead? And knowing that it was his certain death that lay ahead of him, why did he do that? Because he loved you. And because he wanted to restore the relationship that you can have with your Heavenly Father, your Creator. The people of Jerusalem welcomed him, asking them to save him. Have you welcomed him? Have you asked Jesus to save you from that which can't be seen? That's my challenge to you this morning. Do you know who Jesus is? And I would say to you, if you don't really know who he is, then please come and find out. We'd love to share the truth, more of this truth of who this wonderful Jesus is, that he gave his life, that you and I could be restored to a relationship with a loving, living God. Thank you.